Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 12 to finish at 22,761. S&P 500 down 4 at 2544. NASDAQ Composite down 10 at 6579. Russell 2000, small and mid-caps down 6 at 1503. Yield on the 10-year Treasury, well, there wasn't any change here because the bond market was closed today in observance of Columbus Day. Oil up 23 cents at $49.52 per barrel. Gold up $7.50 at $12.84.60 an ounce. Third quarter earnings season kicks into high gear this week with about 8% of the S&P 500 companies slated to report results. And while companies are forecast to reveal a healthy pace of earnings growth, expectations are already very high. A solid earnings season might not be enough to move the market higher. Even though the S&P 500 index climbs to new highs on an almost daily basis, analysts have been quietly reducing their third quarter profit forecast, seeing an earnings gain of just 4% after two quarters of over 10% growth. Analysts also see sales growth of 4% year-over-year, a slight deceleration from second quarter's 5% growth. Earnings estimates tend to start out muted as company executives guide analysts lower, only to beat the forecast in a phenomenon known as under-promise and over-deliver. The expected gains in earnings is less than the estimated 5% jump in revenue, implying negative earnings leverage. If companies can't beat estimates, well, there's no justification for near-record prices. And more than just beating estimates, looking forward, Wall Street will expect strong fourth quarter and 2018 guidance. As central bankers, finance ministers, and money managers descend on Washington this week for the fall meetings of the International Monetary Fund, they will confront an unusual reality. Global markets and economies rising in unison. In its last update in July, the IMF kept its 2017 estimate of economic growth unchanged at 3.5%, which would be higher than the 3.2% that they forecast for 2016. Global economic growth actually came in at about 2.6%. The IMF tends to issue rosy projections and then they trim their forecast a bit. In Japan, we have a reform-minded government and aggressive action by the central bank that has pushed growth to 1.5%. Now, that's up from 0.3% just 3 years ago. In Europe, strong domestic demand in Germany and solid recoveries in countries like Spain, Portugal, and Italy are expected to spur 2.2% growth for the Eurozone. That would be more than double its average annual growth in the previous 5 years. Aggressive infrastructure spending by China, bold economic reforms by countries including Brazil, Indonesia, and India, and rising commodities prices, that helps countries such as Russia, all have spurred growth in emerging markets. And in the U.S., despite doubts about Trump's ability to pass a major tax bill, the economy and financial markets chug along. But the big question is, what happens when global central bankers stop their easy money policies? Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt said today he will sign a new rule overriding the Clean Power Plan, an Obama-era effort to limit carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants. For Pruitt, getting rid of the Clean Power Plan will mark the culmination of a long fight he began as Attorney General of Oklahoma. Pruitt was among about 24 attorney generals who sued to stop Obama's push to limit carbon emissions. Closely tied to the oil and gas industry in his home state, Pruitt rejects the consensus of scientists that man-made emissions from burning fossil fuels are the primary driver of global climate change. The Clean Power Plan was designed to cut U.S. carbon dioxide emissions to 32% below 2005 levels by 2030. The rule dictated specific emission targets for states based on power plant emissions and gave officials broad latitude to decide how to achieve reductions. Still no word on a split in Spain. Catalonia's secessionist leader faced increased pressure to abandon plans to declare independence from Spain, with France and Germany expressing support for the country's unity. The Madrid government said it would respond immediately to any such unilateral declaration. A week after a vote on independence, which the government did its utmost to thwart, the tension also took its toll on the business climate of Spain's wealthiest region. Three more Catalonia-based companies joined a business exodus from the region. It's been gathering steam since October 1st. Google has discovered Russian operatives spent tens of thousands of dollars on its YouTube, Gmail, and Google search products in an effort to meddle in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The ads do not appear to be from the same Kremlin-affiliated entity that bought ads on Facebook, but may indicate a broader Russian online disinformation effort. Both Twitter and Facebook recently detected and disclosed that suspected Russian operatives working from a content farm known as the Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg, Russia, used their platforms to purchase ads and post content that was politically divisive in a bid to influence Americans before and after the November 2016 presidential election. The Internet Research Agency employs hundreds of so-called trolls who post pro-Kremlin content, much of it fake or discredited. Congressional committees have launched multiple investigations into Russian interference, but concern about Silicon Valley's role has surged over the past month. Harvey Weinstein was fired by the Weinstein Company. The move follows a New York Times expose that revealed one of Hollywood's most powerful film producers faces accusations of sexual harassment spanning decades. Now the company Weinstein formed will change its name. Weinstein expected to seek therapy. The White House has tied a new Dreamer deal to immigration reforms. It sent Congress a list of demands, including faster deportations and funding for the Mexican border wall, as part of any legislation addressing the status of deferred action for childhood arrivals recipients. Trump scrapped the program last month. It expires March 2018. Polls show voters like the idea of shielding the immigrants, known as Dreamers. By adopting a hard line, Trump's setting the stage for a prolonged fight in Congress. Trump traded Twitter insults this weekend with a major Republican critic. Trump attacked Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, claiming the lawmaker was retiring because Trump had refused to endorse him. Corker, who is chair of the Foreign Relations Committee, retorted that the White House had become an adult daycare center, and he described Trump as irrational, ill-informed, impulsive, unfit for command, and increasingly a danger to the country and the world. Well, the war of words could have implications for tax reform legislation, which is still in the early stages. Due to a process known as budget reconciliation, the Republicans can write and pass tax measures without any support from Democrats, but first, they have to reach an agreement within their own ranks. With Republicans holding 52 seats in the 100-member Senate, only a few defections could sink a bill, as happened in their failed efforts to repeal Obamacare. Some of the sticking points that could divide Republicans include whether or not the tax plan will add to the deficit, how the cuts will be paid for, and whether the benefit of cuts will go to the wealthy or the middle class. And that's just the framework, not the finishing trim. California Governor Jerry Brown has signed state legislation requiring drug companies to report certain price hikes for prescription medicines, a move that could set a model for other states to follow. The law aims to provide more transparency around pharmaceutical and biotech company pricing methods for their medicines, requires drug manufacturers to give a 60-day notice if prices are raised more than 16% over a 2-year period. The law also requires health plans and insurers to file annual reports outlining how drug costs affect healthcare premiums in California. At least 176 bills on pharmaceutical pricing and payment have been introduced this year in 36 states. A new exchange-traded fund slated to begin trading before the end of the year, dedicated to only holding companies that are seen as supportive to veterans and their families. The Insight Shares Military Veterans ETF will only hold companies determined to be military-friendly, a term the filing uses as a registered trademark. The term refers to a standard created by Victory Media that measures a company's commitment, effort, and success in creating sustainable and meaningful employment opportunities for our nation's military veterans. Richard Thaler, University of Chicago economist, was today announced as this year's recipient of the Nobel Prize for Economics. Professor Thaler's central insight is that we are not the rational beings beloved of more traditional economic theory. Given two options, we're likely to pick the wrong one, even if it means making ourselves less well off. Lack of thinking time, habit, and poor decision-making mean that even when presented with a factual analysis, for example, on healthy eating, we're still likely to pick burgers and chips. We're hungry, we're in a hurry, burgers and chips, well, that's what we always buy. Nudge theory takes account of this, based as it is on the simple premise that people will often choose what's easiest over what's wisest. Thaler didn't contend that humans were randomly irrational. More importantly, he observed that people are predictably irrational. If irrational human behavior can be predicted, then it can be incited or nudged. Thaler coined the term nudging to describe cheap and easy interventions that change people's decision-making. When asked how he would like to spend the Nobel Prize money, Thaler answered, "I'll try to spend it as irrationally as possible." He deserves a prize for that answer. Dow Industrials down 12 to finish at 22,761. S&P 500 down 4 at 2544. NASDAQ Composite down 10 at 6579. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.